Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank Live, the National Lacrosse League edition, with Aaron William Freeland, Gary Grube, sometimes Jared Harris, and Frank Stanishi. Tonight, we don't have any of those guys except me, but we do have a wonderful substitute for the other guys who couldn't make it tonight. You know, like lacrosse, the league, sometimes work gets in the way, you know, and ironically, I'm surprised, Rocco, that you had time to be on the show. I mean, I liked your suit that you had on there on Facebook there on your resume hunt there for a job. That was, tell us a little bit about that. And did it go well for you?
I think it did. I mean, it's just a matter of, I guess them calling me now. The old sit and wait.
Yeah, the Army, hurry up and wait.
Yeah, well, yeah, I did 12 years of that, so.
There you go. So you have a good idea how that works.
Yeah.
Well, off the start, I mean, we were totally wrong. For those of you that, we weren't totally wrong because we both believed this was possible, what ended up happening. And for those of you that don't have the good fortune of being at least aware or listening to Rocco's show on Saturday, which I was a part of, this is almost like it's going to be like, oops, this will be the oopsie show because both of us picked the favorites to win.
No.
And no?
We both picked Rochester.
Right.
But we both went with Calgary.
Oh, okay, so we're half right.
Yeah, we're half right.
Oh, okay, because I thought I talked myself into saying Edmonton, but okay, so I didn't. That's good. That's, well, you know, 50%. I mean, if I was in baseball,
yeah,
I'd make $40-50 million a year. Let's start in the East. First of all, it's the new playoff format, and you know, you have to win at home, and as the home team, you have a minor disadvantage, and I think it's only minor because really you both get a home game, and the only difference is for finishing first for both Edmonton and Rochester is you get that extra couple of minutes to decide a tiebreaker. Now, with that part of the game, it really was and is was important that the home team win their game if they're to, you know, because we both agreed on one thing. It's difficult to win at home after losing on the road only because all the pressure's on you, right?
Right.
So now Buffalo, incredibly, you know, they played like we said they needed to play for them to win. Were they listening to us?
They might have, but it seems they waited till like the last quarter. To put it on, I mean, it was an up-and-back game throughout. I mean, you're looking 3-2 at the end of one, 6-5 at the end of the second, and 7-6 Rochester at the end of the third. So it was an up-and-back battle the whole entire game until it looked like at the 8:50 mark is when Rochester stopped playing because Buffalo reeled off 5 in a row, and that's what gave them a 4-goal victory.
Yeah, and the way they did it, Rochester, they shut Rochester down, something that no team has been able to do for 60 minutes. I mean, a lot of teams were able to do it to them in stretches in a game, but it seemed always at the end of the game, Rochester did what they needed to do to win. But they couldn't muster an offense. What do you attribute it to?
I just think it was just Buffalo, you know, it, Buffalo just knew what they needed to do. You got Troy Quarterly behind that bench with them, telling them exactly what needs to be done. And Quarterly has proven over and over again. I mean, when he was at Toronto, he had a little problem here and there. But if you're going into a playoff battle, and if you want any coach behind your bench to go up against the two-time defending champs and the possibility of beating them in game one of a playoff, you would have to go accordingly. As far as active coaches. My all-time coach would be Tony Resch.
But you seem to have a lot of respect for Quarterly. I have yet to hear you say anything negative about the guy. And I'm just wondering why? What is it about him that makes you so confident in his ability to coach?
Well, you know what? You have to really respect him. I've seen him play in the game. I've seen him play the game. Okay, he was a tenacious. He was the type of player that would get under your skin, and you hate to have that player against you, but you would love it if he was wearing your colors. Okay, he was that type of player. Okay, and there's plenty of players that are out there in the league that everybody hates because they're going against them. Quarterly is the same way as a coach. When you're watching him, whether you're at the game or you're watching it on the Lacrosse Network, on the YouTube feed, or if it's on ESPN or any of the other stations, whenever the game's being televised, he gets on your nerves because you see him doing nothing but cry a lot at times, okay, with his foot on the dasher board, yelling at the officials and, just giving them a tongue-lashing, so to speak. But you got to respect the man's ability to coach. You got to respect his ability to bring this team out. I mean, Buffalo had an 8-game losing streak. 8 games. They knocked out Toronto in the first round, and now they're one up on Rochester. How can you not respect that man's ability to coach this team? As much as you want to say, I can't stand him, I hate him, or, what have you, you have to respect his ability and the respect that the players have for him. Because we know with coaches in any league, in any athletic sport, whether it be baseball, football, hockey, basketball, anything out there, if you don't have the respect of your players as a coach, no matter how hard you are on them, they're not going to play for you. Okay? They're just going to say, you know what, we're folding up the tent. We're going to get this guy fired. We're going to get somebody else in here.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the respect of his players. And they did what they needed to do. I mean, like I said, how can you not respect a coach like that? You have to, regardless of your feelings for the team that he coaches. You have to take a step back and say, okay, putting all that, personal feelings aside,
mm-hmm.
He's one hell of a coach. You got to respect what he does.
There's no doubt about it. And, winning is something that he is more than capable of doing. I mean, he does have a long history of winning. So, that's something that I don't think any of us can ignore. And, maybe possibly also, hindsight being, 2020, how much of that losing the 8 games in a row and then coming back and defeating Toronto in Toronto do you think contributed to this this upset, if you will? Because we can call it an upset even though they were playing at home, especially the way they defeated Rochester. It wasn't a squeaker, My belief was for them to win, it would have had to have been a squeaker, and they were going to have to hang on by their fingers and fingernails and hope for the best. Where, rather, they pulled away, which is something, I don't know about you, but I really didn't see anything in the previous, including the Toronto game, and, of course, the last 8 games of the season, that showed me that they could do such a thing. Was it Rochester coming up flat?
It could have been that. It could have been Rochester just having that extra week off, Buffalo getting that extra little bit of momentum by winning in Toronto and then coming home. But, I didn't get a chance to look at this, but When was the last time that you looked at a Buffalo score sheet and you saw John Tavares and Mark Steenhuis both with four goals in a game?
Well, it appears that
it's been a long
this
time.
Was the week for that, you know, and you're right. And we talked about on your program, and a little bit on the last week's show here, I think we talked about the fact that Tavares may or may not retire this year. You know, what are they going to do for him when he does, if he does retire? It has been an interesting career, to say the least. He has been a master of the game, and I just sense that his fingerprints were all over this, saying, look, guys, this is my last, you know, game, season, whatever, and giving that additional fire for the players to play for. And, you know, they were full value for it. And having him play so well offensively was a major contribution to the team's success, as it has always been. But the last game that he played, the last team that Buffalo played, that was a high point for him this year, don't you think?
Right.
So,
Frank, can you hold on for a moment, please? I'm being called by the family.
Hold on. No worries. We'll take a short break and give you a chance to do that. And here's a real short break.
We're the Toronto Rock cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Ken and Frank Live Show.
Well, that would be a short break. We could here, play this too.
The National Lacrosse League, NLL, is North America's professional indoor lacrosse league, featuring the best players in the world competing for the sport's most coveted prize, the Champions Cup. Founded in 1986, the NLL ranks third in average attendance for professional indoor sports worldwide, behind only the National Hockey League and the NBA.
Frank,
the 2014 NLL regular season, which marks the league's 28th year, opens on Saturday, December 28th.
Okay.
The league is comprised of nine franchises across the U.S. and Canada. We have the Buffalo Bandits, the Calgary Roughnecks, the Colorado Mammoth, the Edmonton Rush, the Minnesota Swarm, the Philadelphia Wings, the Rochester Nighthawks, the Toronto Rock, and, of course, the Vancouver Stealth.
All right, so here it is, the end of the season, and we'll continue by continuing the conversation. I'll continue conversing with myself. That's what I'll do. If you'd like to keep me company here on the air, 714-242-5250 is the number to call. So basically the situation is this. The Buffalo Bandits did what many of us, I think, didn't believe could happen or could be done. And it was. They did a marvelous job in surprising the Rochester Nighthawks. And they were full value for the victory. Now, this means now that Buffalo goes to Rochester next week. And that game, of course, will be played at 7:30 in Rochester. And if they're tied, they're going to play a short mini game, I think 10 minutes long, to determine the tiebreaker. Now, we can have overtime and then a tiebreaker, or we could have a regular time finish and then have the tiebreaker game. So, you know, you could end up having overtime and then a tiebreaker. How exciting is that going to be? And how much are the fans in that last 10 minutes of that game, 10 to 15 minutes of that game, are they going to be on the edge of their seats? It is going to be an incredible game, and obviously something that really is important for Rochester to achieve, which is a victory against Buffalo, because, quite frankly, if Buffalo wins in regular time of the back-to-back game, which is in Rochester, the second game, they win in regulation or even in overtime, it's over for Rochester, and Buffalo moves on to the championship in the National Lacrosse League that'll be played in the third week, I think the 23rd of May. And that game will be, of course, a big one because that'll be for the trophy. Now, Rochester has won two seasons in a row. Buffalo right now is standing in the way of the three-peat, as will the Western Final champion will as well. And right now, Buffalo has one foot firmly planted on the runway headed for that championship final of the National Lacrosse League. Now, on the other side of the division where Calgary hosted a team that went 14-0 during the season and then finished with two losses in their 18 games, 16-2, the Edmonton Rush. Now, that game was not like the game we just discussed. And first of all, please let me interrupt this program for a second. And I should have said something then, but I didn't. And I wish all the best to Rocco. I hope his family emergency works out for the best. And my prayers are with you, my friend. So basically, I guess the real concern here for the Rush now is that they lost at home. I mean, they don't lose at home. That's their main concern right now. They, while Rochester is coming home behind 1-0, Calgary as well is doing the same thing. They'll be going as visitors to Edmonton to basically close out the series, hopefully in regular time or overtime. Now, game was a little different. Now, for those of you that had the good fortune of watching it, I saw quite a bit of it, and can you imagine two teams that wanted that game more than those two? This was a game that went over and back and forth, and the final goal of the game was an incredible goal that I don't think we'll get a chance to see very often. In overtime, the game was won by Shatler. Jeff Shatler, I don't even know, was it a rebound? Was it a off the post? And as quickly as it came off the goalie or the post, it went back into the net. And that meant that our friends in Calgary won. And that is what they needed to do to basically win the game, outlast Edmonton. And they did outlast Edmonton, and that's a great thing that they did outlast Edmonton. So that sets up the same scenario for Calgary. Calgary now will have to go into Edmonton and try to win in regulation or in overtime to meet Buffalo, if both those teams do that. On the other hand, Rochester and Edmonton are the two favorites who are now at home, and the question is, will they be able to win at home? Well, we'll find out, and it's going to take a little while until this weekend. Now, you'll be able to watch the game on YouTube, and of course there is the National Lacrosse League live broadcast there. You'll be able to watch both games live. A lot of times guys alternate both screens at the same time, but you can also pause and watch both games back-to-back. Obviously, start the early game and pause the second game and then start watching. Either way, it's going to be a very good match. And out of respect for what's going on with Rocco, I really am going to shut this down. I'd like to call him, make sure he's okay and things are okay at his home. And that pretty much seals it for this week. We've had a whole bunch of circumstances that have forced our regulars like Aaron and Gary to not be able to be on the program tonight. And Rocco, who is standing in, had a personal emergency come up. And, you know, I hope all are okay, and I hope all have fun tonight after dealing with some issues. I hope things turn around for Rocco really quick. And I know Gary's in a meeting, and, of course, Aaron is playing goal right now for a junior team. Or I should say with a team that plays just before the junior teams play. And he's been looking forward to doing this for a long time. And I wish him all the luck. For now, though, we're going to have to call it a night. And I hope you enjoyed this shortened and abbreviated version of our lacrosse show here on Candid Frank Live. Sometimes you got to go with the flow. Talk to you later. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.